Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome our special guest, the Republican candidate in Rhode Island's 2nd Congressional District, Rue Reese. Thanks for joining us, Rue.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Rue, you're a newcomer to politics. You're a 56-year-old licensed contractor from North Kingstown. You're also a poker room floor supervisor at Foxwoods, so we won't challenge you at cards. But tell us, why are you running against Democratic Congressman Jim Langevin?
Well, my background, I have a MBA from George Washington University, and my concentration was finance. And as far as I can see, the biggest problem facing the country is our finances. We have no management of finances. If government is the biggest business we know and it's failing miserably, it's time to get some financial know-how down there.
And how specifically would you be different from Congressman Langevin on issues involving the economy?
Well, first off, how can the economy grow when the government has such a stranglehold on the economy? I mean, with the entitlements that are run rampant, I mean, I don't understand how we can expect to turn things around to get jobs growing, which is what they profess to be targeting, when all they do is straddle it with continual spending programs. We shouldn't be increasing the budget every year. We should be decreasing the budget.
Just a real brief follow-up. What entitlements specifically would you advocate cutting?
Well, first off, I'd attack the fraud and the waste in government. I mean, that is the biggest thing. When I saw this release not too long ago that we had over $100 billion in erroneous overpayments to the entitlement programs. That's Medicare, Social Security, Section 8, Pell Grants. Over $100 billion in erroneous overpayments.
Let's go to Scott.
Just wondering, as the 2016 Republican parade for president starts, who, Mr. Reese, jumps out at you as a really good candidate in your party for president?
Fortunately, that is what I'm focused on, my party for president, because any person who comes out of that party is certainly the most viable candidate to turn things around in this government.
Anyone in
now,
mind?
I tend to lean towards Rand Paul.
Okay.
I think he's a very fiscal conservative with very sound ideas.
Let's go to Maureen.
Given your experience in terms of at Foxwoods, this state is going to face a really drastic question in terms of gambling and how we handle gambling. As you know, it is the third largest source of revenue. If you were advising state leaders, what would you advise in terms of expanding gambling? How do you think we could possibly make up that shortfall, particularly given the success of Foxwoods and what's happening in Massachusetts?
Well, certainly, you know, if something does happen in Fall River in the New Bedford area, both of our casinos are at great risk of just totally dissolving away. We need to expand table games in Newport. We need to grow that area because it's inevitable. If these state-of-the-art casinos open up in Massachusetts, then our Rhode Islanders will head there for their gaming needs.
The Republican gubernatorial primary is heating up between Cranston Mayor Alan Fung and Barrington businessman Ken Block. Fung released a plan Tuesday calling for $200 million in tax cuts. A day later, Block called himself the real change agent in the race while criticizing Fung for accepting campaign contributions from Cranston police after negotiating with the police union. Let's start here with Rue Reese. Who are you supporting as the Republican candidate for governor and why?
I certainly don't want to put myself on the spot when it comes to that question, because as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't really matter which one of these two gentlemen come out of the primary. It's going to be a step in the right direction. Both of them are fiscally conservative. Mayor Fung has turned the city of Cranston around. It was a mess when he took over, and it's now in the black and has job growth there. And Ken Block has run a successful business, always running profits, and that's what we need for the state.
Maureen, what do you make of this criticism from Block that Fung was wrong to accept campaign contributions from members of a union that he negotiates with as mayor?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of this comes down to the inevitable to and fro that's going to go on in this primary. And, of course, the Republicans are noted for that in the sense that it's a small group, but they always seem to manage to, take on one another. Some of this is silly season stuff about who voted for who and so forth. I mean, I think it's a legitimate criticism. I think the important thing to take away from this is you've got, as you've said, two really credible candidates. Ken Block, the Brown poll notwithstanding, is definitely in the game. And so it's going to be a spirited race, and we'll see what happens.
Scott, as we saw, Brown University sampled just about 86 Republicans for a finding showing Block with a small lead over Fung recently. How concerned should Fung be, and what do you make of this back and forth on the Republican side?
I think the poll is ridiculous. There's no way 86 people, the margin of error is way, way outside the norm. You just can't do anything with that. As far as Fung accepting campaign contributions from the Cranston police, look, he's not a rich guy. He can't self-finance. Block, as we know, has spent a lot of his own money over the years on his own political races. And so what I think, you have to be realistic here. Fung's going to need some campaign money to get his message out. And that's what he's doing. I think the voters will make up their own minds on that.
Let's stay with Scott here. The University of Rhode Island is moving ahead with plans to arm its campus police with guns. Is this the right way to go?
I think the last thing we need on a college campus is more guns. However, I will say one thing for URI. They did send these police officers, the campus cops, to the State Police Academy, so at least they do have training.
What do you say, Rue Reese? Is arming URI police the right way to go?
I believe so. Both of my daughters graduated from URI, and my youngest daughter is finishing up graduate school there. I certainly feel more comfortable with the state, with the campus police being armed. We had an incident there last year where there was a threat of a gunman around the campus, and what good is it to have these officers in harm's way if they can't even protect themselves and the students around them?
And I think that proved to be an unfounded threat at that time, but let's go to Maureen here. You're obviously a professor at URI. It seems like a lot of your colleagues are opposed to arming the police. What do you say about this?
Well, I actually support it. I think the reasoning and the discussion here is right on, in the sense that we are this quiet campus, but in this day and age, you really can't go any further in terms of what happened. Although it was a false alarm, had it not been, and it's possible, the fact that the police could not go in, I think, suggests that we have to change our expectations. The other thing is, I thought it was handled pretty well in the sense that it was up to the individual institutions. They had a lot of hearings. They, you know, this was a very measured process. And in the end, they came down on arming the police. I think the world has changed and we have to change with it.
A legal challenge to the 2011 overhaul of the state pension system is headed to a Superior Court trial in September. That's after mediation between the two sides in the case broke down last week. The unions challenging the overhaul also got a boost when Superior Court Judge Sarah Taft Carter this week rejected a state motion to dismiss the case. Scott, how do you see the outlook here, and what do you think all this uncertainty about $4 billion in pension obligations will mean as this case is argued over the next few years?
Well, it's going to be the first or second inning of what could be a long game that could go into extra innings. We're going to look at many, many rounds of legal wrangling over this in front of the courts. The $4 billion is, again, kind of a strange way of looking at it. Again, it's over 25 years, so we don't have to pay this $4 billion out tomorrow morning. The other thing I think is it's going to end up at the state Supreme Court. I think in the end, they'll cut the baby in half. They'll probably say your pension is a property right, but the cost of living adjustments, the so-called COLAs, are not.
Rue, if you were in the legislature in 2011, would you have voted in favor of the pension overhaul?
Certainly, and I would have tried to take it further. I don't see how the state can expect to meet these obligations. If you look at most publicly traded corporations now, there are no more defined benefits. Everyone has shifted to a 401k. It's just unreasonable to expect that we can continue to pay 3 to 5 people to perform one job because retirees are living longer, and it's unreasonable to expect that. This was approved by the state legislature. This is law. I don't even understand why it's up for debate.
Maureen, as Scott said, we expect this to ultimately go up to the Supreme Court. What do you think all the uncertainty before this case gets decided will result in?
Well, I mean, first of all, it was unlikely that she was going to dismiss this case after all we've been through. So we are in for sort of a long haul. I'm not so sure how, I mean, we have to decide if, in fact, this is a contract, that's the question, as well as is there a compelling state interest to honor it? The longer this goes on, the more embedded these changes become, the harder it is, it would seem to me, for the state Supreme Court to flip this around. So I expect it to come out in favor of the state, but we'll have to wait and see.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And 2nd Congressional District Republican candidate Rue Reese.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.